But we're excited about the things that God is doing us. And hopefully through our study of Romans, as we're delving into the Word, you begin to see so much more of what God is saying to us versus what has been ingrained to us through possibly the world or how we were raised, and how some of it's just simply not true, and how God's grace covers our lives, and how we have to rest in His grace, and we have to understand the good things of God are meant to make our lives everything that He's called them to be. One of my favorite, I have two people that I love to read about, Charles Stanley and Andy Stanley. I don't know if anybody follows them, but I love to hear about their stories and their messages. And Charles Stanley tells a story about an exam that he was taking in seminary while he was in school. And has anyone ever just had the unbearable exam? Anybody been there? Okay, thank you. I remember those days when you walked in there and man, you sat down and you might have studied and studied and studied, and you get about 10 questions in and you realize you're in way over your head and that your studying just didn't cut it. You didn't do everything you needed to do. And Charles Stanley tells a story about the professor, before the exam began, he said this. He said, "Sit down and read through the whole exam before you begin. Read the entire thing," he said, "and then begin the exam." And when they passed out the exams, the professor went around and passed them out. He had his assistant help him pass them out. At the beginning of the page, it said the same thing again. "Before you begin the exam, read the entire exam." So the exam begins, and Pastor Stanley tells about how he was sitting there, and he could begin to hear the moans and the groans throughout the room. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but everyone's like, "Oh, you kind of hear them behind you. Are you here?" You start hearing the breathing, and you realize you're in trouble. And he told the story that he began to see people get up, walk up to the front, just throw their papers down and walk out the door. And another person, we could hear them over there almost in tears, and they just got up, put their exam, and walked out the door. And he said that as he began to read down through the exam, he started working on the exam, but then he remembered, read the whole exam. So he began to read, and he flipped through the first page, he got to the second page, he read the second page, he read several pages, and we got to the very back page. It said this: "You can complete this exam as is and receive the grade that you earn, or you can sign your name here and receive an A. It is up to you." And he said he sat here and he was like, "What? What in the world?" And he said all of a sudden people around him, he saw them just getting up, taking their papers up, and people were filing out one by one as people began to realize, as they got to the back page, what was happening. But he said around him there were other people that were just working away furiously. I mean, just working away. I mean, they were just going to it, working and working and working. And he just signed his name, and he got up, and he walked out. And he tells the story that a few days later, he went to the professor, and he asked him, he said, "I didn't understand what was happening till I got to the back page and I began to think about what was going on." And this professor obviously was trying to teach them a lesson. And he asked him, he said, "How often do you do this?" He said, "I do it every semester at least one class." And he said, what happens when people see this?" He said, "Well, it's amazing what happens." He said, "There will be people that will begin working and they never, never, ever get it. They don't listen. They don't see what's right in front of them. And they keep working there. And then they get to the back and they're furious at what they've done." And he said, "Then there's other people, they sit down and they read the directions and they read through and they are astonished. They sign their name and they walk out as happy as they can be." And he said, "Then there's other people that read it and go, I don't need anyone to give me anything." And so they continue working and they make their way down through that and they choose the option of to get what they deserve. And he just talked about over the years how people are so different in how they accept an opportunity of grace. And I love the story because how many times have you seen this maybe in your own life? I'm one of those people who like to do things with my own hands. Where are my other people at? I mean, I like to do things and I like to see things come to fruition. I like to plan it and I like to make it happen. And then I like to step back and go, "That's what I'm talking about," right? Anybody besides me? I love that. Now, if you've been around here much, you know that I'm not a builder. So I can't do that with building things. Now, I can tear some things up. So call me in on that side, all right? But I'm not a builder. My dad and brothers, they can build things and make them magnificent. It looks beautiful. And I look back and like, it just never looks good. I can't get it there. But I want to be able to do it on my own. And so many of us are doing the same thing in this life. We're trying to go through this life and do it on our own. And what God is saying to us right in our faces this morning, and he's been saying to us in the writings of Paul, is walk in my grace. You don't have to do it on your own. Walk in my grace. And that's where we're going to begin this morning, and I want you to keep that in mind. And I love the last part of that video where the feet were there and the shackles fall off and the feet just walk off. Man, if we could learn to live without the shackles and walk in the freedom, instead of trying to achieve the perfect score or try to build the perfect project or try to build this life the way we want it, if we can walk in the grace of God. So the question I want to begin with this morning is this: will you take the grace of God or not? We take the grace of God or not? Go with me to Romans chapter 8. We're going to begin reading there this morning, and I'm going to read 1 through 17. And so if you have your Bibles, follow along. I'm reading out of the New International Version this morning. And if you want to follow along on the screen, you can do that. But take some good notes, because I want you to go home this week and focus on this passage, because the very beginning of this scripture is one of the most famous scriptures in the world. Has anybody ever heard this? There, therefore, now is now no condemnation for what? Those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, how many times have you heard that? I've heard this scripture my whole life. Now, there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But I always hear that part, and that's it. Anybody else? That's the part that I always hear. But there's 16 other scriptures that go along with this that we should be so excited about this morning. And it says this: because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. So that's the part to get excited about right there. See, we leave the first part. There it is now, therefore no condemnation. Brother, God is not condemning you. Go live your life. Go have a great time. But we forget the best part. Because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit that lives within us, has set us free from the law of sin and death. And you're set free from death. So if we're set free from death, what are we set free to experience? Say it loud. Life. Life. Why am I the only person that's really excited about this morning? Maybe I'm not coming. Life. Say it again. Life. Man, I love living life. Love it. And this life that I'm blessed with to get to share with you is we're believers to walk through this life and do the things that God has called us to do. We're set free to experience it. Man, if that doesn't move you this morning, I'm worried about you. I'm worried for you. Man, understand that God has set you free. You don't have to go make the perfect score. You don't have to build the perfect project, live the perfect life. Newsflash for you this morning: you're not perfect. I know some of you think you're perfect, all right? I've seen your Facebook stuff. You're not, though. And we're broken. And we hurt and we go through difficulties. But the Word of God is telling us this morning that we're set free. We're set free. Go to verse 3. For what the law was powerless to do. Oh, see, this gets better as we go. For the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh. That's this. That's what we're touching this morning. Flesh. God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. He follows it up right there. He tells you this is the good stuff. This is the best part. What you couldn't do because of this, I did with my son and made him look like this for you. He follows it up with that. And then he said, and so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the what? The Spirit. We're not called to live like this anymore. We're called to live in the Spirit. And remember, in the very first part, it said the Spirit gives us what? Say it loudly. It gives us life. This goes together, all right? The excitement should keep going down. We should build here, all right? The excitement's building. We're going to get better with this as we go this morning, all right? It gives us life. Life in the Spirit. And it allows us to live the life. Verse 5 says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance to the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. Verse 6, the mind governed by the flesh is what? Death. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit, love this part, is what? Life and peace. Now, how many of you have ever rejected peace? No, thank you. I'll stay with the turmoil. Thanks a lot. Anybody? No, we sit around and pray. God, grant me peace. God, let me experience peace. And he's already told us, guess what? It's already yours. It's yours. Life and peace. Y'all are going to get there. I'm telling you, it's going to happen before the service this morning. Life and peace. Verse 7. The mind governed by flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh, in big words, those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. So we're going to pause right there for a moment. You can't please God on your own. Man, that's hard stuff, isn't it? We can't please God the way we are. We can only please God when we are living life in the Spirit. We can't please God living life in the flesh. Verse 9, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even your body is subject to death because of sin. The Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of the Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. Everyone say obligation. We have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you can live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And now if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Wow. Wow. Go home and read this week. Study through this. And I'm going to give you some things to percolate on a little bit. Just to let it simmer and get a little hot in there and get us a little uncomfortable and make us really think about where we are and how we're living and what we're doing. Because in the 8th chapter of Romans, one of the greatest promises in the Scripture is found in verse 1. That therefore, there is now no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus. But it doesn't end there. That's a wonderful promise, but it doesn't end there. See, standing by itself, though, we should think about this for a moment and go, wow, I am not condemned because I am in Christ Jesus. What does the word condemn mean? Think about that for a moment. You know, if we go downtown and there's an old building down there, we say, we're condemning that building. What does it mean? It's no longer useful, right? It's in ruins. It's probably fallen down, and it's time to level it. And then what do we do with it once we level it? We trash it, right? We get rid of it. It's condemned. It's done. Listen, this is telling us that no matter what shape we're found in, the grace of God covers us, and there's no condemnation. He's never done with us. We're never broken enough that he can't cover us. We're never in a situation where we just need to be eradicated. Ever. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Listen, here's the significance of this morning. That even in our sin, God doesn't condemn us. He pours out his grace to cover us. Now, does that mean we continue sinning? What did Paul say? Not just no, but a resounding no, right? No, don't continue living the way you're living. Live life in the Spirit. And he even went on and said, if you continue to live in sin, then the Spirit doesn't live in you. Because if it does, you won't want to do those things. You want to walk away from those things. But why do we struggle with this concept this morning? Why do we struggle with the concept that in God, in His grace, we are not condemned? I'm going to answer it for you this morning. I'm going to give you this answer. I'm going to tell you why. Because we love to condemn things. This little piece of us, the flesh, oh, we love it, don't we? Don't we love rolling in on Monday mornings and we can't wait to talk about the juicy stuff that happened over the weekend? Right? And we love to say, oh, there she is. That's the one. Did y'all see her pictures? Oh, good Lord. Can you believe she put that on Facebook? Right? If I was going to do something like that, I at least wouldn't get caught on camera. Right? And we love to condemn. We love to say, man, you know what? That's why they're going to hell. It's the way they live. But we don't walk in there and go, hey, man, I saw what happened this weekend. Can I pray with you? Do we? No, we go, oh, that's all right. That's why she didn't keep her eyes open. All that stuff she did this weekend, partay. Right? Because we love to condemn. We love to tear down. Our flesh loves it. And we want to be in the know. We want to know what people are doing. And we want to see what people are doing. Because we love the part of condemnation. Because it takes the pressure off of us to be able to condemn someone else. Listen to me, church. God is calling us to not fall into that trap, but to offer grace, the same grace that we walk in, to offer that same grace to others. To others. And man, how your job would be different if tomorrow morning, and when everyone's standing around talking about it, if you just said, man, can I just stop for a minute? You know, I just want to share with you something, man. Yesterday, this guy that's at our church, he's tall and bald and has a really big nose, but sometimes he has some good points. And like he was saying yesterday, that we should extend grace. And all of us say we're believers, so why don't we pray for her today? Let's pray. Let's do it right now. Will you pray with me? And let's do one or two things is going to happen. Right? That's going to be a deciding factor right there. Either they're never going to talk to you again about anyone else, and you're just going to become like the person they're talking about, or they're going to stop what they're doing and go, I have found someone to follow. Right? And it can be either one. And you can be that person that leads the way to bring change right where you are and extend grace to those people around you so that others have the same opportunity that you've had to live life in the Spirit. Life in the Spirit. Exciting life. Listen, it doesn't matter what's going on around us today. God is not condemning us. God is reaching to us. Listen, Paul wrote about it. We're all a bunch of sinners. What makes us think we're better than the person beside us? We're all a bunch of sinners. But we're fortunate as believers to tag on this little line, saved by grace. On the back side of it, I am a sinner saved by grace. And it gives me life. Life. You know what happens? Too many of us begin to listen to that voice of condemnation. And the reason we have a hard time with this is because of the accuser. Does anybody know who the accuser is? Satan. In Hebrew, Satan means accuser. And you may not even recognize you're listening to those little voices in your mind. You know, we all have the old joke, it's okay to talk to yourself as long as you what? Don't answer yourself, right? It's okay, as long as you talk to yourself, just don't answer yourself. I find myself doing both sometimes, so pray for me, right? But those voices that we listen to inside us says, you're never good enough. You're never good enough. Good try, but you blew it again. Man, look how much you invested in this one to be such a failure. Look how much effort you put into this project. And they were laughing at you. Right? And we start listening to this stuff and we don't even realize that that's not coming from the Spirit of God. That's coming from the accuser who's trying to break us down and that wants us to walk in condemnation, wants us to feel like we're never good enough for God. Ever. And listen, I'm going to just break it to you easily this morning. You're never good enough. It's not going to happen. It doesn't matter what you do. You have to walk in grace. Everybody say grace. You have to walk in grace and recognize that God has made a way for you. Listen, I love this statement. I wrote this down. When God looks at you, he doesn't see a wretch. Just think about that for a moment. When God looks at you, he doesn't see a wretch. He sees a son or a daughter. When God looks at you this morning, he doesn't see you plagued with all your problems. Because that's insignificant. He sees you as a son or a daughter. And part of this promise this morning, part of this promise in this passage is this. When you're a son or a daughter, he will send every resource he has to take care of you. Have you ever thought of it that way? Every resource to rescue you. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. To help you, to benefit you, to move you forward. Because you're walking in grace. Does anybody remember the son, the prodigal? Does anybody remember the story in the Bible? He had taken his inheritance and he ran away. And man, he squandered it. I love that word, squandered. That means he just literally threw it out the window. He squandered it. Oh, he had a great time. A great time along the way. He was partying and drinking. And he had all these friends. And everybody loved him because he was the life of the party. But guess what happened? After he had squandered. Everybody say squandered. Let's just say it together. It's fun. Squandered. That felt, it's fun to say this. Squandered. He threw it away. Squandered. After it was done, guess where he wound up? Does anybody remember? A pig pen. And boy, that was fun. Right? When I was growing up, we had pigs. And I loved the pig pen because we had to go out there and help clean it out every once in a while, right? Anybody ever done that? It's a blast, isn't it? Oh, fun. Smells delightful, right? Joy. Sheer joy. Need grace in those situations. He wound up in the pig pen, in the mess, in the mire, in the muck. And he looked over the pigs and went, that looks good. I'm hungry, right? So that tells you how bad it was. I've never been in the pig pen and went, man, I'm starving. That looks delicious, right? Ever. Now, I've looked at the pig and went, that's going to be good right there, right? Right? Sorry, Suey. It's going to happen. But here's the thing. He was sitting there, broken. And this was what he remembered. Why this story is so important. He's like, what am I doing? What am I doing? Because I have a father who's loaded. Why am I sitting here? Even my dad's servants are doing better than I'm doing. And I know I squandered it. And I know I threw it out the window. But I'm going to go crawling back to my dad. And I know he will help me. He'll take care of me. And the reason this story is so important is because as he went back to his father, the Bible tells us when the dad looked off in the distance. See, we never think about this. The dad was looking for the son. He was waiting for his return. As he looked off in the distance, here he came back and he said, oh, my Lord, my son has come home. It is time to get down. That's what he said. Not just like that. I paraphrase, all right? He said, get some food, get some drink, get some clothes. And when he had set all that in motion, he ran out to meet him. He ran out to meet him. And he was so excited that his son had come home. And you know what? Never in that passage do you ever see him say, well, did you squander it, son? Where's that money that I gave you? What about your hair? I cannot believe that you would do this. Right? But see, inside of our minds so many times, that's what we're hearing. As the accuser comes to us and he's breaking us down through condemnation, he's like, how could you? God has gotten you out of so many things. You can't go back and ask God to forgive you for that again. That's like 1,765 times you've asked this. You can't ask him again. God's tired of hearing you ask for forgiveness. God's tired of you living the same way. You're never good enough. You're never. It's never going to happen. Just stop trying. And we listen to that voice. And this is why it's so important to understand this morning, there's no condemnation in Christ. It never comes from God. It never comes from God. It may come from people around us, but they're just being used by the accuser, who is Satan, who is trying to break us down. He wants us to be like Adam and Eve. Remember Adam and Eve in the garden, once they had sinned and they realized they had sinned, what did they do? Anybody remember? They hid. And so we find ourselves doing the same thing so often as believers. We hide from the things of God. We hide from it. And we stop worshiping because we just have to stand here because we feel guilty about the things that we partook in or the things that we're not doing for the kingdom. And so we feel guilty about it. And we're like, oh, I got to get out of here. That's a good song. But man, I can't sing this, man, because I'm messed up. And then here's what we do. Our Christian brothers and sisters are fellowshipping and they're inviting us in. And then we find ourselves conveniently busy because we feel guilty and we're trying to compare ourselves to them. We're like, man, my friend John over there, I can never be like him. Man, he's an amazing Christian. And I'm just Ivan, man. I'm messed up. I can't live like that. And so I just conveniently stop replying to his texts and I conveniently stop taking his phone calls because I don't want to be around him because I'm condemning myself. And then we stop reading the word. Because when we read the word, it makes us have to look about a deep look inside and think about who we are. And we're still looking at ourselves as ourselves. And it never meets good enough. It never matches strong enough. It never meets smart enough. And we keep condemning ourselves. And it's this vicious cycle that just starts over and over and over. And what God is saying is, you're my child. You're in my grace. Come to me. Come on in. What's the new term? Let's hug it out. Right? That's what God's saying to you. Come on. My arms are wide open. And I'm strong. I'm strong. Walk in my grace. Live in my grace. And listen to me, the church. I want to tell you this morning. We've all been there. Look beside you. We've all been there. We've all been broken. We've all been messed up. We've all tried to do it on our own. We've all tried to walk our own path. And the truth is, we're not good enough. It's not going to happen. You can't do it on your own. You can only do it in grace. You can only do it in the love of God. You can only do it because you're an heir, because you have life in the Spirit. And we failed. And we've kicked ourselves. And we failed, and we've kicked ourselves. And we failed, and we've kicked ourselves. And we condemn until the point we just crowd out the things of God because we're so used to the failure because we're ashamed. Listen, that is a work of the enemy. Because in Christ Jesus, we're not ashamed. We're set free to have life in the Spirit. We're set free not to just have life, but remember that other part, life and peace. Peace. And when we're at peace, we don't listen to those voices. And through the grace of God, we learn to listen to the voice of the Father. And we have to rely upon His Word. Listen, I'm going to make a statement here, and I want you to walk with me through this. Listen, it's not about how we feel or emotion. I want to say that again. It's not about how we feel or emotion. It's walking in the promise of God's Word. Remember, we started that off, one of the greatest promises? Romans chapter 8. Listen, emotion is great. If you've hung out with me at all, you know, man, I love to have fun. I love to laugh. I love to joke. And I want everybody around me to be laughing and joke and having a great time. And I love the emotion when our songs get going and we're clapping our hands and we're singing. I love how that feels. I love it. Anybody beside? I love it. But listen, I can't go on how I feel. I can't base my life on how I feel. I can't live out this walk with God on how I feel. Because I'm going to tell you, I didn't feel good when I got out of the bed this morning. Anybody besides me? Because I did a little too much yesterday, and I have this like thing that's snagging right there. Like every time I move. And it doesn't feel good. Did you know that though? Because I've chosen not to focus on that. But if I get up every day and I focus on my emotion, I'll be honest. I know this is hard to believe, but I'm not nice in the mornings. I know for those of you that know me, that's hard to believe. But I'm not a morning person. I am a night owl. When the sun goes down, it's like, fresh wind. Let's do this, right? But I'm not a morning person. And I get up and I don't feel good. And I get up and I get out of bed and I have to start with the left ankle because I sleep on that side of the bed. And so I put it and I crack it and snap it and it moves up to my knee. And I crack it and then I pop the hip and I turn sideways and I start it all over the right one. Anybody besides Ivan, right? And I crack all that and then I sit up on the side of the bed and crack everything else and let it get in socket in place in all the ways it's supposed to work. And then I stand up and crack some more. And I don't feel good. Am I alone? And if I got up every day and I went based on that, that would be something of a day. I will just tell you. And the people I work with, they wouldn't want to see me coming. Because I don't feel good. And if I function in that emotion of my body is aging and this is rough, and I walked in that every day, no one would want to be around me. And so we can't focus just on emotion and how we feel because you don't feel good all the time. You don't feel good all the time. And so we don't base our belief in God on just how we feel. Now, I want to tell you, I want to feel it. I want to feel when the Spirit of God rolls in and I'm afraid to move. I've had those moments. I want to feel the Spirit of God and His glory when it rolls in through worship. And it's like you could just take some and put it in a bottle and take it out of here with you. Because it's so powerful and amazing. And it feels good. Some people describe it like this. When the hair on the back of your neck stands up and you're like, whoa, something in here is happening. I want to feel those things because it does feel good. But listen, I'm going to break this to you this morning. Even as the pastor of the church, I don't wake up every day and feel holy. I don't get up every day and go, it's a great day to be righteous. I don't jump out of bed and go, praise the Lord, oh my soul, all that is within me. First of all, my wife would throw something at me if I jumped up and woke her up, right? I don't get up that way. Does anybody get up that way? But as I get going, I walk around my home and I go, man, I'm blessed. I walk out and my lab greets me and I'm like, you feel good, don't you? Right? And she's smiling, shaking her tail, because everything's good. And then the kids get up, and I'm like, man, they're still here. It's good. Right? Right? Where are my parents at? Praise the Lord, right? That's all right. That's all right. And we smile, and we're like, man, the air's still pumping. It's 71 degrees in here. It's right. Feels good. And I go to my closet and I walk in there and go, what shall I adorn this great body with this morning, right? Don't you do that? You ask those questions? And then, you know what happens? We start to feel what? Better. We start to feel, but I can't base everything on how I feel. So I have to trust the Word of God. And the Word of God says, I am not condemned, but I'm set free from the law of sin and death. Are you with me now? Is everybody getting it this morning? I'm set free. And that means you're set free from the law of sin and death. And you're set free to have life in the Spirit, life and peace. Now that's a Facebook post if there's ever been one. Life and peace. Listen. If you don't know the promise, though, it's hard to rest in it. Get into the Word of God. Hear the promise. Tuck it away inside and say, I'm going to hold on to that promise, God. I'm going to walk in your grace. And when the life is falling around you and you're like, I don't know what's going on, I know I'm still in grace. I don't feel good right now, and this situation looks pretty bleak, but I'm going to walk in grace. And God, I might have squandered some stuff along the way, but I see you standing there saying, come to me because I'm strong and I've got lots of resources and I'm going to come to your rescue. And I'm going to ensure that the Spirit fills you with life and peace. That's what his promise said, not how we feel. Very quickly this morning, I'm going to wrap this up. Romans 8, 14 through 17. Says this, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slave so that you can live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And in him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs with God and co-heirs with Christ. And I want you to hear this morning. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may share in his glory. Everybody say sufferings. That just told us this morning, as children of God, there are going to be times that there will be suffering. And I don't know about you, but the times in my life when I suffered, I didn't feel good. It wasn't a pleasant experience. But the scripture just told us a part of the promise is this, is if we stand as a co-heir with Christ Jesus, then we'll stand with him in suffering and we'll stand with him in glory. And see, we want to leave all that out. See, that's why we always stop at verse 1, right? There is now, therefore, no condemnation in Christ Jesus, period. But that's not how it's written. That's not how it's written. And this verse says that we will share in the suffering. Now listen to me. Here's the beauty of sharing in suffering. That he will see you through it. He'll see you through it. Why don't we seem so excited all of a sudden? And I can answer that. Because we don't want to suffer. We don't want to walk through difficult times, dark times, painful times. We don't want to be on the island by ourselves, the only one standing up for the righteous cause of Jesus Christ. We don't want to be the only one. We don't want to go through difficulty. Listen to me this morning. Paul laid it out just like this. No one is righteous. All have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. And in our natural state, we get what we deserve. That's what he said. Summed it up. But in Christ Jesus, the gift of God is what? Eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life. And I would even say, in addition to that, is life and peace. Life and peace. Yeah, you may suffer for a while, but you will find peace through that suffering. Listen, I could tell you a story about suffering, and the craziest thing could walk out of there and go, I don't know why. I have no worry about the situation. Because it's a bad situation, but I have no worry. That's called walking in peace. And God has promised that to us. Listen, the good news is this, that God has made provision for us. But we have to recognize that a part of sharing in glory is sharing in difficulty. Newsflash, we're going to suffer because Christ suffered. Listen, you think all this stuff of Christian bashing all over the world is just happening because, hey, we got nothing else to do, nobody else to pick on? No, listen, this is a part of following Christ. And fortunately, we live in a country where we don't have to worry about some of these things. But all across the world this morning, there are believers running for their lives. Running for their lives. My wife's first cousin, Paul, is in Papua New Guinea right this moment. If you didn't follow what happened this week, the main supply bridge caved in this week that connects them to the real world. For supplies, for food, for all kinds of things. It fell in. You can Google it online. You'll see this big truck try to cross this old bridge. When I mean a bridge, I mean like a rope bridge. And the whole thing collapsed. And that cut them off from the modern world. Listen, there's believers out there. They're doing the real thing. They're living it on the line every day. There's Christians in Iraq. This study this week said 20,000 are on the run for their lives. And thousands have already been beheaded because they refuse refused to deny Christ. Listen to me, church. It's happening all around the world. And this is what the scripture's talking about, that believers will suffer for the cause. Thank God we're not there. But man, it should drive us to pray for these people and pray for their safety and pray for their deliverance and pray for God's hand. Listen, Christ experienced great difficulty. So will you. So will you. But here's the good news. You're going to make it through it. You say, well, Ivan, you just said someone just lost their head. Yeah, I did. They made it through it. And what's waiting on the other side? Remember that thing about the dad standing there with arms open wide? If that's their plight as a believer, God was greeting them at the gate, saying, come in, my child. Well done. Well done. When they put the thing to your head and said, deny me, you went, no way. Well done. Look at this. Come on in. I've been waiting. Come on in. Walk in grace. Walk in grace. Listen, the good news is this. You look around this morning, we have fellowship with a body of believers. We're strong in numbers. Look around. The person beside you, I assure you, will help you. The person in front of you and behind you, they will come to your aid. That's the beauty of being a believer. But this morning, we have to make this choice. Will we accept the grace of God, or will we reject it? It's pretty cut and dry. Will we accept the grace of God, or will we reject it? Listen, I challenge you, church, delve into chapter 8 this week. Delve into this passage and realize that God is extending to you life and peace. God is extending to you a life of freedom, not having to listen to the voices of condemnation. And God is extending to you this promise that you'll live with me forever. You'll walk into eternity with me forever. What choice will you make? It's up to you. Walk in His grace. Let's pray together this morning.